Okay. So this morning's gospel reading is all about forgiveness. And I'm going to do something that is kind of unusual. I've never done it before when preaching a sermon, but I got you all a little handout that I want to pass around first. And
thank you.
Anyway, as I was working on the sermon, I took a little break and went and looked at some Facebook posts. And, you know, Facebook is a very mixed bag, as many of you know that are familiar with it. But I came across this as a reflection of today's gospel reading. The original that I saw was actually in Spanish, so I thought, I'm going to take this, translate it in English, and pass it out to y'all. Because, I mean, it's so perfect for the message of today's gospel. The parable that Jesus tells us about the king who's willing to forgive his slave a huge debt, but then the slave turning around and refusing to forgive a much smaller debt. 10,000 talents. In today's money, that would be like billions of dollars. Okay, a talent was a huge amount of money. And usually it was only governments that had those kinds of sums, the gold talents. So 10,000 talents is just an immense, gigantic amount of money. And the servant says, you know, have patience with me and I'll repay it. Everybody knows there's no way he can. The debt is so gigantic. There's just no way that he would ever be able to repay it. And yet, you notice the king has pity on him and forgives that huge, gigantic debt. So this is a metaphor that Jesus is using for us. All of our sin is like a debt we owe to God. And, of course, we sin practically every moment of every day. And so that debt gets large, indeed. And yet God is willing to forgive all of it. But notice there is something required of the slave who is forgiven the debt. He is supposed to turn around and do the same thing for anyone who owes him a debt. 100 denarii is a much, much smaller sum. Basically, a denarii was what a laborer received for a single day's wages. So basically, you can think of it as, you know, after you work an 8-hour day and you make minimum wage, that's about a denarii. So it's, you know, it's not an insignificant amount of money, but compared to 10,000 talents, you know, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars versus, you know, maybe a few thousand dollars. That's the comparison that Jesus is making using the denominations of his time and place. So when we think about how gigantic that sum is that the king forgave the servant, the slave, to me, that's clearly saying that there are no limits to what God the Father is willing to forgive us. However, the story makes clear that if we refuse to forgive others, we can't receive God's forgiveness. And if you're like me, you read that story and it's a little scary, right? Because sometimes it's extremely difficult for us to forgive. You know, Jesus says, unless you forgive from your heart. It's like, wow, how do I do that? I want to be forgiven, right? But how do I truly forgive from my heart so that I can receive God's forgiveness? It is a little scary. It's a bit of a challenge. So first of all, I want to address that question. Why is it that God won't forgive us if we refuse to forgive others? And I think it has to do with what's involved with refusing to forgive, right? If you refuse to forgive someone, you're carrying with you bitterness, right? You're carrying with you selfishness. You're licking your wounds. It's a self-oriented mental and psychological activity. You're clinging to the wrongs that have been done to you, right? And if you are filling your heart with bitterness, selfishness, and clinging to wrongs, right, that were done to you, there's no room in your heart for the opposite of those things, right? If you're filling your heart with something, then the opposite of those things don't have any place. So what is the opposite of bitterness? Joy, right? No matter what you've endured or how much pain you're in, the opposite of bitterness is joy in the Lord, right? Instead of bitterness, an attitude of gratitude, if you will, for the good things you have in life. What's the opposite of selfishness? Of course, being other-centered. And the great irony, if you will, of human life is the less we pay attention to us and our own selfish needs, and instead orient ourselves to others, the better our own needs are met. You know, it's a bit of an irony. It's like, you know, forget yourself and yourself gets taken care of better than it would have been otherwise by loving others and giving to others, being other-centered and God-centered instead of, you know, zooming in on ourselves and how people have wronged us. Clinging to wrongs. Okay, if we cling to the wrong, then we're not clinging to the opposite, which is the right, the good, right? We're clinging to evil. We're clinging to bad. We're keeping it in there. And what is God, right? God is good. God is love. God is other-centered, not self-centered. God is the opposite of bitterness, right? So we're filling ourselves with the opposite of God. There's no room for God to enter into our hearts. I believe that's what Jesus is saying when he says, if you refuse to forgive another, you cannot receive God's forgiveness. Because God gave us free will, and he refuses to violate that free will. We are free to choose whether to embrace joy and forgiveness, et cetera, or to embrace the opposite of those things and be filled with a sense of bitterness, a sense of feeling wrong, sense of wanting revenge. It's up to us to choose. And the entire Bible, really, and especially the New Testament, is constantly saying, choose life, choose God, choose blessing, and that includes choose forgiveness. If you want forgiveness from God, you have to practice forgiveness yourself. And as we know, the New Testament, again, is constantly encouraging us to follow Christ. Jesus says, right, in the Gospels, follow me. And part of following Christ is seeking to be like Christ, imitating Christ, right? And so if we want to be like Christ, if we want to be like God, we have to forgive as he forgives. Another thing that Jesus says is, a man cannot serve two masters. He will love one and hate the other. So if you're serving unforgiveness in your heart, you can't at the same time serve its opposite, forgiveness, right? So you're making a choice. But we are free to choose. And even if we make wrong choices, God, as long as we have breath, right? God gives us opportunities to make different choices. He even forgives us when we refuse to forgive, if later we repent of refusing to forgive, right? So there's always a chance. We don't need to worry about being the slave that's thrown into prison, right? If you think about it, because we have free will, it is actually the servant himself or herself that is choosing to put themselves in that prison. And the torture that they talk about in the parable, that's self-inflicted torture. See, that's what God does. If you read the whole Bible, or even chunks of it, you'll see that's what God is always talking about in both the Old and the New Testament. It's like, what you choose is what I will let you have. If you stubbornly over and over again choose to reject God and to embrace that which is anti-God or anti-Christ, then eventually God goes, okay, fine, that's what you want. That's what you've chosen over and over again. And so here it is, to the full. Slavery, imprisonment, self-torture. You know, that's what you keep telling me you want. So here. And that's why he says, blessing and curse I place before you. Choose the blessing. Choose life. Choose that which is good. So that you might have life. And it's the same message that Jesus is telling us today through this parable. So another thing I think that's really important to talk about when we're talking about forgiveness is we need to address a very common misperception in our society. And I think it's related to a misperception that a lot of people have about love, too, in our society. We associate love and forgiveness with emotion, right? And it's almost as if, we see some people, right, they fall in love, and when they stop feeling certain emotions, they think, well, I'm not in love with this person anymore, and they split, right? Maybe even get divorced if they got married. And we see that going on, and the same sort of thinking is all too common when it comes to forgiveness. We think, well, as long as we're feeling the hurt, right? The pain, maybe even the anger, right? Those intense negative emotions that come with being badly hurt by another person. We think, well, I'm not forgiving because I'm still feeling these things. But the truth is, like I said already, forgiveness is an act of our free will. It's a decision we make. And it's a decision we can keep making, and we can even ask God to help us to stay on that course. And every time we start feeling the anger, the hurt, the pain, whatever it might be, as a result of someone who has sinned against us, someone who has mistreated us in some way, and we're tempted to go into that bitter place and that revenge place, or you know, the lick my wounds and feel sorry for myself place, instead, we can use that emotional intensity we're feeling as a reminder to just go back again to the cross of Christ and say, as you, Christ, forgave me my sins, I choose with my free will to forgive this person. It's making a reminder. Physical pain and emotional pain serve a similar purpose for us. Physical pain tells us we've been injured somehow, right? And we're in need of healing. Emotional pain serves the same purpose. We've been emotionally or psychologically or spiritually injured, and then we're in need of healing. So use that pain as a reminder to seek the healing you need. And who's the source of ultimate healing? Of course, is Christ. So serve that can be simply a reminder to run back to God and say again, it's hard, but I choose. Because I want to be like you and I want to be filled with you and not the opposite of you. To forgive this person again. And I think that's also related to what Jesus says to Peter. He says not seven times, but 77 times. In other words, there's no limit. It's an infinite number of times. You might have to say, I forgive so-and-so for this same one thing that they did to me a million times. But that's, I believe, all that God is asking us to do. Because again, what does Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And Jesus, when the disciples said, well, who can be saved? You know, you're setting the bar so high. And he says, for people, for man, it's impossible. But for God, all things are possible. So again, the New Testament consistently says, to live up to God's standard, we must rely on the power of Christ and not on our own. So we don't need to be afraid that we're not forgiving people sufficiently to avoid the fate of the slave in the parable. If we know that, like everything else in the New Testament, God is saying, rely not on your own strength, but on mine. If you run to me like a little kid saying, I need help, right? We'll get what we need. And again, the training we received these past two Saturdays helps us bring others to that same process through the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's one more thing I want to share with y'all today. In Isaiah 43, verse 24 and 25, God said, "You have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more." So notice what even God himself says about people that have wronged him, right? Sinned against him. Just like people sin against us. It's a burden. And it's a wearying. It's a pain, right? Somebody's mistreating you. It's a pain. It's a burden. And notice, he chooses to forgive our sins for his own sake. See that? To remember the sin no more. So that burden of carrying around a debt, a sin, a mistreatment that you receive at the hands of another, forgiveness sets you free of that. The burden is released. I choose to forgive the debt. And it's gone. So even for God, forgiving people is beneficial to him. And of course the same goes for us. I guess my grandson thought my sermon was too long. So it's time to wrap up. Anyway, I just want to leave you with one more quote from the Bible. In Galatians 5, verse 1, Paul wrote, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Freedom and forgiveness are one and the same. And we achieve both freedom and forgiveness through Christ. Amen.